In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Happy Gaudete Sunday! What in the world does that mean, one might wonder? Does anybody here know what that means? Anybody? I hear it! Rejoice! Somebody was set up, I'm sure. Yes, friends, it's Overflowing Joy Sunday. That's what the pink candle symbolizes. Joy, much more joyful than the white candles, don't you think? Can you hear it? Joy permeates all the readings for today. Isaiah, the Psalm, and even the Gospel of John. A real trifecta. Notice that John, in John's Gospel, has no other identifier attached. It's one of those fun facts. There's no birth story, no baptizer or Baptist, no munching on locusts and wearing itchy clothes like we had last week in Mark's Gospel. Like John, he is just plain John, testifying by telling us who he is not. Why is this story about John being interrogated joyful? To really get the fullness of the joy of this day, we have to look backward to where John is pointing. Now, a few years back, I was at a preaching conference. We were all sitting around round tables. All of a sudden, the leader says, "Now I want you to have table conversations. Tell each other what your favorite scripture reading is." Oh, no. I hate this so much. Now, mind you, I did Jet Cadets. Yes, the interesting youth group where you had to memorize these long scriptures of passages and play Bible drill. Bible drill. I bet you played Bible drill, Reverend Josh. What was it called? Bible?
Sword drills.
Sword play?
Sword drills.
Sword drills. Bible sword drills. I played Bible drill, same things, where you look up verses as fast as you possibly could. You got a pin for each correct recitation of scripture that was always from the King James Version, of course. Some people had ribbons down to their feet. Mine, not so much. So this little exercise gave me some trepidation. Anyway, what popped into my mind at the table conversation was the beginning of the prologue to the Gospel of John. It goes like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What had come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. It came time for me to share that the prologue was perhaps my favorite piece of scripture. And then came the dreaded question, why? I'm sure in my horror I mumbled something about it being mystical and expansive, etc., etc. The reading today about John is part of the prologue. In fact, it follows directly after this hugely cosmic declaration that the Word, the Christ, was with God from the beginning, from the dawn of creation, that the light of Christ is life itself, that the light shines in the darkness. This light is the first thing John points to as the source of all our joy. If that weren't enough, Our man John brilliantly employs circumstances from the past, from a period of recovery from exile of his people way back in 538 before the Common Era. He uses the non-cosmic, non-mystical, very human and concrete, hopeful voice of Isaiah. Jesus used the same passage in the Gospel of Luke when he picked up the scroll in the temple and proclaimed that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That scene is depicted in our Jesus in the Temple window right over there in the chapel. In using this well-known passage from Isaiah, John points to the one who is coming. He points to the one who has the power to release us from all forms of bondage and enslavement, to heal the sick, to bind up our broken hearts and lives, to bring liberty to the prisoner, the refugee, and the captive, the one who proclaims a jubilee year, the year of the Lord's favor. This is a once in every 50-year celebration where property was returned to its original owners, where indentured servants were able to go back to their home, to their own land, where slaves were released, and where fields were set to fallow. It was a year when the community confronted injustices and tried to correct wrongdoing and level the playing field. John uses Isaiah to point to Jesus the Christ as the one who has the power to transform every year into a jubilee year. Sometimes it seems that our jubilee year will never arrive, that the light John testifies to has gone out. As Christians, we are here to proclaim that it is still shining brightly in the world, that it is continuously, constantly, steadfastly coming into the world at every moment. Yes, sometimes it is obscured, I admit. As human beings, we have the capacity to hold this paradox, to hold two competing ideas or circumstances without one canceling out the other, to hold the pain of life, the appearance that darkness has overcome us, right alongside the joy. That is how we can laugh and cry at the same time. How we can mourn the loss of our closest and dearest, and also experience the joy of being with family and friends. That we can have what in my family is called tumor humor, hope and humor in the face of unspeakable illness and debility. If you were able to go to Sack Lunch this week, you would have heard about a new documentary coming out on July 23rd. It's only for one night until it goes later on. But it's in theaters all around. It's called A Case for Love. Folks from all across the United States, most ordinary citizens, some quite famous, were asked to share their stories of how and where they see the light, even as some cope with very deep, deep darkness. They have found ways to live unselfishly and find that what they do and how they live can brighten the world. We can all use some of that kind of inspiration in our time, so I commend it to you. The question then becomes, where do you see the light of Christ in your own life, even just a sliver? Where do you see the sunrise breaking in on the human family despite the news cycle? Where is the jubilee year emerging? It's there. Habitat for Humanity is still building houses one by one. House of Yahweh is still providing boxes and boxes of food, fresh and nutritious, right over there on Marine Avenue. Homeless folks are still getting a hot shower and meals every Saturday at St. Luke's in Long Beach. One of the most exciting ones I read about is a second new prefabricated supporting housing complex will be opening soon in Harbor City. Funds are still being raised for a new furnace for the orphanage in Ramallah, and it is getting very cold there. Repentance that John is always calling us to, both personal and communal, is alive and well in programs like Sacred Ground. Like John, it is our privilege to point to the work of Christ in our midst and to find joy in it. For me, the poet Janet Morley expresses both the mystical depth and grace that we float in, alongside the human concrete possibilities that await us through what John points to. It goes like this. Christ in my mind, that I may see what is true. Christ in my mouth, that I may speak with power. Christ in my heart, that I may learn to be touched. Christ in my hands, that I may work with tenderness. Christ in my soul, that I may know my desire. Christ in my arms, that I may embrace without fear. Christ in my face, that I may shine with God. Therein lies reason for hope, for expectation, for inner peace, and especially for joy. Amen.